Well, good morning, friends. How's everybody doing? I'm really excited to get to speak with you today. God's been teaching me some cool stuff, even as we're just starting this new year, a few days into the new year. But I love watching people get baptized, don't you? It's like such a special, special thing to get to see somebody that decides not just to say with their mouth, I believe in God, but they're going to take this step, right? This action to show you that I'm surrendering my life to Jesus and I'm coming back up committed to following him. Isn't that cool? It's a cool thing that you get to witness. Because the truth is, none of us likes to be forced into anything, right? If you look at a toddler that you're trying to get into a car seat, I heard a few come-ons, right? You know that if that toddler doesn't have the exact same plan as you do at that exact same moment, what are they going to do? They get so rigid, and they arch their back, and all of a sudden, this tiny little human has superhuman strength, and it's like, we are not going to make this happen, right? Nobody likes to be forced into doing things, and so I'm thankful that Jesus doesn't force us to follow him, but he invites us to. He invites us to come into this relationship with him. My family and I, over Thanksgiving break, we went to Disney World and we went to Universal Studios, and we've been waiting for forever to take this trip because my daughter just needed to be just the right age, right? So she turned 8 this year. So we went to Disney and it was wonderful. We loved it. But she's never really been on like real rides. We've never gone to a theme park before. So that was good planning on my part. So Universal has like real roller coasters, I'll call them. They like loop and they corkscrew and they dive down and they're really fast. And I love roller coasters, so we got there and I'm like, yeah, this one's for me, you know? And so my family and I, a couple of us, are getting ready to go on this real roller coaster. And my daughter says, I want to go. And I'm like, ooh, that's not a good idea, probably. But growing up, my parents would tell you that I was pretty stubborn and strong-willed, meaning if I decided I was going to do something, they probably weren't going to talk me out of it. And if I decided I wasn't going to do something, they probably weren't going to force me into it. And turns out that that is a hereditary trait. So my daughter got the same personality. So when she says, I'm going, I was like, okay. And my mom's like, what are you doing? Why are we doing this? This is going to be horrible. Our whole trip is going to be ruined. But I just said, okay, the invitation is open. You can come. So we're walking through the line, and we're getting closer and closer to the ride. And you can hear it, right? It's very loud, and people are screaming. And I think it dawned on her just in that moment. She goes, do you think I'm going to be scared? And another parenting pivotal moment, I was like, yeah. Yeah, you're going to be scared. It's going to be really like nothing you've ever done before. And I said, but you might also really like it. So I said, you just have to decide if you want to go and try it or if you don't. And I said, if you don't, if you decide we're not taking this ride today, that's fine. I'll walk right through and we'll go watch it from the other side. So we get up to the gate. It's our turn to go. And I'm like, okay, what are you going to do? And she says, how scared am I going to be? And I'm like, you're probably going to be really scared. Like, it's probably going to be really scary. I don't want to lie to her. And I said, here's what I can promise you. I said, I can promise you that I will hold your hand the entire time. I said, that's all I can promise you. And she goes, okay, I'll go. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, we're doing this. Okay, we're doing it. So we get on and it's like legit roller coaster. The straps are over our shoulders and I look and I'm like, she's not big enough for this ride. This is horrible. It's going to end really bad. So I reach over and she takes my hand and we grip hands really tight, right? And we start going. And the second we take off, I'm like, this was a horrible idea, horrible idea. She's going to hate me. And so it's very fast and it's very loopy and very corkscrewy. We're upside down for a while. We're dropping, we're stopping. I mean, all the things. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I'm looking over, trying to look over. Her eyes are just closed like this. And we finally make it to the end, the longest roller coaster I've ever been on in my life. We finally make it to the end, and we walk off, and we're still holding hands, and I'm looking at everybody like, nobody talk to her. Don't talk to her. She's deciding right now like what the rest of the trip is going to be like, if she hates me and we're going home, or if she's going to rally and we're going to keep going. So I give her a few seconds, and I'm like, so, And she goes, "That was epic." And I'm like, "Yes, epic, okay, epic is good." And then a few seconds later, she goes, "And terrifying." I'm like, "Yeah, I know." Like, that's the perfect description of what we had just gone through, right? It was epic. It was like nothing we had ever done before. And at the same time, it was terrifying, right? For both of us, I think. It was terrifying. And I think that is the perfect description of a roller coaster, but it's also, for me, the perfect description of what it's been like walking with Jesus. Since I've said yes to him, and I've said I'll follow you, and I'll do what you want me to do, it has been epic. He has allowed me to partner with him to do things that are so beyond anything that I would have put on paper as a possibility, right? This is one of them. And also, it's been kind of terrifying because he's hardly ever called me into something that I think, yes, I feel qualified for that, or yes, I feel prepared for that, or yes, I feel like I'm ready for that. He's called me into places that I've been not qualified for and not fully prepared for, and that I don't feel like I'm good enough or ready for them. But that's the thing. Jesus invites us into this relationship with him. He invites us to join him. He doesn't force us, right? And so today I want to look at an invitation of Jesus. It's going to be in Matthew 11. And I'll give you a little bit of context of what Jesus was talking about and who he was talking to, because I think that's important for us to understand his audience that he gave this invitation to. And then once we get through that, we'll be able to see that his invitation is actually for us today also, and we'll be able to see what that invitation to them, how it translates into our lives. And so if you have your Bible or if you have your phone, you can look up Matthew 11, 28. Chapter 11, 28, and you're going to know this verse right away. It says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and you're carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and I'm humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light." And so let's look at just a few things. If you're like me, when I read through that and I see the word yoke a couple times, you might accidentally think that we're talking about brunch, and I'm so sorry to disappoint you. There's no brunch here today. A yoke is not a yoke, all right? Let's just toss that out and make sure that nobody is confused about that from the start. Can I show you a real yoke? I actually found this at a friend's house, and I was so excited. I took it right off of his wall. This is what Jesus would have been referring to when he said yoke. And so what this was this big wooden beam, and they would have attached two animals. Their heads would have gone through here, and they would have strapped them together so that they could work together. And then they would have attached this piece to some kind of a wagon or to a cart that was pulling stuff or to a plow that was plowing a field. And so this is what Jesus would have been referring to when he says, "Take my yoke upon you. It's easy, it's light." This is what those people would have seen, right? But they also had, they would have known about a physical yoke that they used for work, but they also, maybe very gentle because that's an antique, they also would have had like metaphorical use of this word. So if there was something that seemed like a burden in their lives, they would call it, this is the yoke of whatever that burden was. So for this audience, they would have had the yoke of the Roman government. And so they had lots of pressure on their shoulders, right, from taxes that they were paying, from laws that were put in place. If you were a Jewish person, you would have felt even more of the yoke of the Roman government, because they were afraid that the Jews were going to rise up and that they were going to overtake Rome. And so they were making extra laws to push them down, to oppress them, to keep them in their place. So they had the yoke of this government on their shoulders that weighs kind of heavy. They would have had If they were Jewish, they had the Torah, and we've talked about this before, that the Torah, they had 600 laws that they were trying to keep, right? They were trying to keep in right standing with God, and so that was that system of, here's what you need to do to stay in right standing with God. If you mess up one of these laws, then we pay for it. We make atonement for it to keep you in right standing. But it was like 600 of them. And so can you imagine if we said at the door, like, let's check your list before you get to come in, right? All 600 laws, that turned into, even though they were trying to do it for the right reasons, that became a yoke that rested on their shoulders. So they had the yoke of righteousness that would have been on them. And then they called it the yoke of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the spiritual leaders. They were supposed to be helping these people to understand the law, and they were supposed to be teaching them, this is how you keep the law so that you can stay in right standing with God. They were supposed to be there to shepherd them and to help them, but instead it turned into like this power trip for them, and so they used that to keep the people down and to kind of elevate themselves in power. So they had the yoke of the Pharisees. And so this would have been the audience that Jesus was giving this invitation to. And this is the state of these people that he's coming to. They're not people that are like light on their feet, right? They're not lighthearted. They feel very weighed down by everything that life just is throwing at them right now. And maybe we can't completely relate with their yoke, but I would bet that there's someone in here, and I would bet that all of us in here know what it feels like to carry something heavy, right? Raise your hand if you know what that feels like to have the yoke of whatever it is in life. Maybe you're trying to be really impressive. Maybe you're trying to, you know, get promotions at work. Maybe you're trying to have the best family. Whatever it is, we know what it feels like to have weight on our shoulders. We know what it feels like to have a yoke. Even if we don't have that physical yoke anymore, if you're carrying around a weight and everything that you're doing, I practiced this a lot this week. Everything that you're doing now becomes a little bit harder. Everything that you're doing becomes weighed down because I'm carrying this yoke, whatever it is, on my shoulders, right? And so Jesus' offer is not just for this audience in the Bible. If you're carrying anything on your shoulders, if you feel weighed down by anything in life, then this invitation is for you too. And so today I want to walk us through this invitation that he gives, and I want to break it down in just a couple different invitations, because he's going to give one, and then if we say yes, we'll accept that one, then he's going to give us like the next tier and say, okay, well, here's step two. And then if we'll say yes to that, he says, okay, here's step three. And so three invitations in one verse. And so if you're ready, we're going to start with the first one, and that is the word come. It's a key word. He says, if you're weary, if you're burdened, if you're carrying anything that doesn't belong to you, if it's too heavy on your shoulders, Jesus says, come, right? And I think it's important to note that he doesn't say, hey, clean that up first and then come. He doesn't say, hey, work all that out first and then come. He doesn't say, get yourself put together and then come. He says, while you're carrying that burden, while you have that heavy thing on your shoulders, he says, come to me. And what's he doing? He's establishing that we need him, right? Some of us are shaking our heads, and those are probably the people like me who are like, I got it. I'll figure it out. I can work this out on my own, right? We're the people that it's so, so hard for us to say, I need help. And Jesus is telling them right then, you are carrying something that is too heavy, and you do need help, and I'm the answer to what you need. And so he opens this invitation to them, and he says, come. He's establishing that they need help, that they need him. And so just a few verses to show that Jesus wasn't very partial about who came to him. We're talking about Matthew 11:28. He says, come to me, all of you who labor, the ones that are working so, so hard. You're trying to prove yourself. You're trying to get that promotion. You're trying to get whatever it is, more money in the bank so you feel more secure. You can buy that house or whatever it is. If you're labored, if you are working so hard and you're not figuring it out, he says, come to me, right? In Matthew 19:14, he says, let the children come to me. And he's saying there, yes, the physical children can come to him, but that also symbolizes the people that feel small, the people that feel weak, the people that feel insignificant. If you feel small, come to me, he says. And then in John 7, he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and let him drink. So he's saying what? Even your most basic needs. It doesn't have to be something huge. It could just be, hey, I'm thirsty. Hey, I'm hungry. Hey, I need clothes for today. Whatever it is, even if it's basic, he's offering us to come to him. And if you're like me, I might come to Jesus and I might say in a prayer, hey, Jesus, I'm carrying this and it is really getting heavy. It's really getting hard for me to hold myself up and to still be impressive, right, while I'm holding this. And so I need your help. I need you to tell me what to do. So when you have the answer, let me know. Right? And I walk away, and I'm still carrying the burden. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? I come to him. I'm not coming to another person whose knowledge is limited, whose strength is limited, who might not know what to do, right? I'm not coming to a computer that's just going to spit out an algorithm and say, based on your input, here's what you should do. I'm coming to God, right? So we come to him with our burdens. We say, I need you, but we have to take the next step of action, and that is, I trust you enough to take this and to do what's right with it. We have to lay the burden down. And so if I come to Jesus then and I say, hey, I'm carrying this and it is too hard, but it's not too hard for you. And I take it and I say, here you go. You can figure out what to do with that. And now all of a sudden, I'm like, whoo, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty free, right? I've laid that burden down. I've trusted Jesus enough to give him that and then to let him figure out how we're going to walk through that. The posture that we come to him is really important. On the first day of school, you know, your kid's backpack is so full, right? And they're walking and they're like backwards like this because their bag is bigger than them and it's just full of all this stuff. And my daughter's room this year is upstairs. And so we're walking and I'm watching her. I'm like, you need help? No, I got it. You need help? No, I got it. And we get to the stairs and she takes one step and she's like, whoa. And I'm like, you need help? And she's like, yeah. So she finally gives her backpack to me. I put it on my shoulders and we're able to walk up the stairs together. It's the same thing with Jesus. He's walking right next to you while you're struggling. He's like, hey, you need help? Hey, you need help? And finally we get bent beneath that load or we're falling backwards and we're like, yeah, 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 now you can take it. But the important thing is, he wants us to come with this posture that we need his help and we're willing to let him help us right then, right? He says it a couple ways. In 1 Peter 5:7, I'm going to show you the same verse in just two different translations. In the New Living Translation, he says, give all your worries to God, right? Give them. This is a choice, right? It's not forced on you. It is a choice to hand those over to God. And it says why? Not because he needs you to be perfect, but because what? He cares about you. He loves you. He wants you to do well. He wants to help you. That same verse in the New International Version, the NIV, says, cast all of your anxiety on him. And this word cast is really important because it's not just like politely laying something down. To cast, if you think about a boat and fishermen that have a big net, and those nets were really, really heavy, and they would have taken it and flung it away from the boat. This is casting your anxiety on him. I don't want it anywhere near me, right? I'm casting it as far away as I can into his arms so he can do what he needs to do with it, because he loves me and because he cares about me. In Psalm 55, it says the same thing, cast your burdens on the Lord. So our cares, our worries, our anxieties, our burdens, that's everything, right? Anything that you are carrying, give it to him. And Psalm 55 says he will sustain you. Now, he's the one who's carrying the weight, and he's the one who's managing the load. He is sustaining me, giving everything that I need. And so the first invitation is kind of twofold. We realize that we have a burden. We come to Jesus, that's step one, and we lay these burdens to him, before him. We trust him to take care of them. And he says, okay, now we have your burdens down. Now invitation number two is take up my yoke. And we think, you go back to what his original audience knew that a yoke was. It's a sign of hard work. It's a sign of pulling something heavy. And we say, wait a minute, I just put my stuff down. Now you're asking me to pick up something else? That doesn't make any sense, does it? And Jesus says, hey, the yoke of the world is nothing like my yoke, right? The yoke of the world says you better perform. The yoke of the world says that you better meet expectations and exceed expectations. The yoke of the world says you better work, 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 work. And you better do it until your face is in the dirt and you have nothing left to give, right? The yoke of the world is all about performing and meeting expectations. Jesus says, hey, my yoke is not about what you can do. My yoke is not about the performance that you can give. My yoke has nothing to do with your ability to meet expectations or not. He says, my yoke is nothing like the world. The world has all these laws and all these restrictions and all of these expectations of you. And he says, but my yoke is governed by love. And there are laws to his yoke, but instead of 600 of them, plus religious expectations, plus the societal expectations, plus just that you're human and you're feeling all of this together, he says, my law only has two parts. And one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And what does that mean? That law means Jesus is inviting us into a relationship with him, one where we learn who he is, one where we walk with him, one where we trust him, one where we have faith in him, one where we obey him, but we do it joyfully. He says, get to know me. Be in relationship with me. Learn to love me with all your heart, all your being, and all your mind, right? And he says, the second part of my law is just as equally important as the first, and that's to not just learn this love for yourself, but to extend it to people around you. And his entire law, the entire law of all the Pharisees and all the prophets and all the Torah, everything that would have been on you, he says, it's all taken care of in these two laws. Learn to love me, and then let that love extend from you to people around you. So we're invited into this partnership with Jesus, right? And he says, my yoke is easy, and the burden that it gives you is light, because what you're wearing is not the expectations of the world. What you're wearing is love, and love is light. Love lifts you up. Love is so much different than laws, right? And so he says, here's the invitation. Take up my yoke. And so here's another choice we have to make. We could just lay down those burdens and then walk away. But Jesus says, I'm inviting you into a new way of life. I'm inviting you into something different. I'm inviting you to partner with me. And if we'll say yes, we step into this yoke, and what we'll realize is the yoke that we were carrying before was for one, right? I was the only one carrying that weight. But if I'll step into the yoke that Jesus offers, if I look over, I realize, hey, this is for two. I'm one. And who's the other one? Jesus, right? This is what he's inviting us into. I'm not doing it by myself. I'm not working alone. I'm not holding the entire weight of what I'm doing. I'm doing this side by side with Jesus, who has all the power and all the wisdom and all the perspective. He has everything that I would ever need. And he says, hey, if you'll step under my yoke, I'll teach you a new way. And so here's the real invitation. Are we willing to lay down what we've always done? And are we willing to step into a new way of working? Because here's the truth. We lay these things down. And we say, Jesus, those are in your hands now. But if we step into his yoke is actually carrying what? My burdens, right? So my burdens don't just magically disappear when I hand them to Jesus. Sometimes I kind of wish that that was true. But that's not what he's offering. He's not saying, hey, you hand those to me and poof, they're gone. He's saying, if you hand those to me, I know how to carry them. I know how to walk through them. I know how to handle those, and you get to do it with me. Now, these burdens that I had, whatever it is that I was carrying, Jesus is saying, let's walk through those together. Let me teach you. Because if we step underneath this, what we're saying is, Jesus, I'm willing to let you lead, and I'm willing to be the apprentice. Right? I am willing to be the intern. I am willing to say that I'm the inexperienced one here and I need to learn from you. And so if we say yes to his yoke, his last invitation is learn from me. Walk in my ways, right? And so now I'm side by side with Jesus. We're taking care of whatever this burden is. We're walking through it together. And now I'm having to learn a new way of managing things that I've always done in my own. But as I walk side by side with him, what I'm going to start to notice is he does things a whole lot differently than I'm used to, right? And a traditional yoke, the people would have known if there were two of them, they partnered these guys up, these oxen usually, they partnered them up purposefully. They had one that was young and inexperienced, and kind of like all over the place, right? And they had one that was mature and steady and knew what he was doing. And so they would pair the two up together. And what would happen is this one says, hey, I've carried that load before. I know the best way to go. I know the path we should take. I know how fast we should go. I know exactly how to get there. And this guy over here is like, I'm not sure, but he's tied in, right? So eventually, even if he's pulling, even if he's trying to resist, he's going to fall in line with this guy who's stronger and steadier and knows the way. And eventually, this one says, hey, this is a pretty good way, right? This is the way we should go. This is how we should handle this. This is what Jesus is inviting you into, to let him lead, to let him be steady, and for us to follow his ways. And what happens is as we learn from him and we start to walk alongside of him, his character and our character start to kind of blend together. His nature and my nature start to kind of blend together. His ways and now my ways start to kind of blend together. And we'll realize in walking next to him that he's perfect in every way. Right? And he has the perfect perspective where I can only see what's happening right in front of me when I can only handle this one challenge that's behind me. Jesus says, hey, I see everything. I have eternal perspective. I know exactly what was happening back then, and I know what it's preparing you for now, and I know what that's going to propel you into later. My perspective is not finite. It's not right here. My perspective is eternal. And as we walk with him, we'll start to realize that, and our eyes are opened to a different way of seeing things. As we walk with him, we realize that he has the perfect pace. In John 14, Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I'm the way. He says, I know how fast we should be going. And if you're like me, I'm like, let's go, right? Let's go, let's get it done. We can do it. This is really fast. And if you're, I'm obviously the inexperienced one here that's like going zigzag and I'm just going to go all over the place. And Jesus says, no. I've got the right pace. It looks different than yours. It's more purposeful than yours. It might be slower than yours, but it's steady and it's going to get us there. And I know exactly where you need to be at the exact day, at the exact time for what I've prepared you for and what I have planned for you. He sets the perfect pace. And he has the perfect plan. We know this, right? In theory, we know this, that he has the perfect plan. But when we start to step into these things, sometimes it scares us and we get nervous. Like, is this where we're going? This is what we're doing? But Jesus has the perfect plan for you. Hear that today. It may not match up with what you think your plan should be, but his plan is perfect. And as we walk with him, we're reminded of who we are and whose we are. That it says in Ephesians 2 that we are his workmanship, right? He has created us. He has woven us together. He has chipped away and made us into this masterpiece. And we've been created in him for good works with him. And it says that we should walk in them, right? You've been created by him to work with him, to walk with him through those things. And as I will surrender to those things and I start to allow myself to be shaped and formed by this new walk, now my experience is different. Now all of a sudden, I'm experiencing perfect peace. Even while we're carrying these burdens, they didn't disappear. They're not gone. I'm still walking through them, but somehow, connected to him, I have perfect peace. Why? Because I'm walking with the Prince of Peace, right? And he has plenty to share with me. I have peace as I walk with him. I start to realize his provision for me as I walk with him. Everything that I need, whether it's really big or whether it's something really small that I just need for the day, that he already has it. And how do I know that? Because I'm walking with him. I'm connected with him. And he's giving me step by step everything that I need. And as I walk with him, I start to experience his power. The creator of the universe is my partner that I get to walk through these things with. He has infinite power. And as I walk with him, that power transfers to me. And now I'm walking in the power and the spirit of God, my Savior. I'm not walking in my own strength anymore. I'm not walking with my own perspective anymore. I'm not walking with my plans as the plans that have to happen. Now I'm walking in step with him. I'm experiencing his power. I understand his provision, and I feel his peace when I walk with him. So going back really quick to that roller coaster, you know, holding a hand with your kid on a roller coaster when you're going upside down is not easy. I will tell you, I held onto her hand so tight. I'm like, oh my gosh, my head's going all over. And we got off that roller coaster, and the rest of the day, I noticed it didn't matter where we were going. If we were walking to get a snack, or we're walking to the restroom, or we're walking to another ride or an experience, whatever, that I would start walking, and my daughter kind of instinctively would reach out, and she would take my hand. Wherever we went the rest of the day, she held my hand. And I think what she realized is something so profound, she doesn't understand it yet. But what she realized is, in a moment that was really scary, in a moment that was really challenging, in a moment that was really outside of what she thought she was capable of, it wasn't that she didn't feel fear. right? She was afraid on that roller coaster, but she realized that my presence never left her. And that was the promise that she clung to. And she realized, hey, there's so much benefit in staying connected to this person that brought me peace, to this person who stayed with me and helped me to do something that I didn't think I was capable of doing. And so now she realized, I can hold that hand whenever. I don't have to wait for crisis. I don't have to wait for a chaotic season. I don't have to wait until I'm afraid. I can hold her hand now. And friends, this is the invitation for each and every one of us. And it's kind of a hidden invitation in here from Jesus that he says, hey, come to me when you're weary, yes. Come to me when you're burdened, yes. But listen, he's available to you all the time. He is welcoming this partnership with you all the time. He's saying, I'm willing to be connected to you all the time. Every day, if you're walking through something that's really, really hard, then yes, he says, come to me. I will help to relieve you of that burden, and I'll teach you how to walk through it. And in that, you're going to learn that I'm trustworthy. You're going to learn that I'm faithful. You're going to learn that I'm steadfast, and you're going to learn that I'm with you. But hey, when you're going through joyful times, when you're celebrating, he says, connect with me. And learn how joyful it is to walk in my blessings. Learn how joyful it is to just be in my presence. Learn what it is to worship me and to just do that with a light heart. Because the way that we experience this rest for our souls is not just by putting down a physical burden, it's by staying connected to Jesus, who gives us rest, not just for our bodies, but for everything. The burden he gives is light. It's joyful to carry. It's a delight to be with. And Jesus says, this is the invitation to you. Every single day, connect with me. Every single day, come to me. Every single day, lay down what's not yours to carry. Every single day, take up my yoke. And every single day, learn from me and follow me. He says it this way, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. And it says, take up your cross, which is a lot like a yoke. And not just take it up when things are hard. It says what? Take it up daily and follow me. Every single day we have the invitation to come, to lay down our burdens, to step beneath his yoke, to abide and to dwell and to walk with him and to experience him as we learn from him. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us really quickly. Oh, Father, we thank you just for who you are. We thank you for this character and this nature that you are God who created us and you are God who desires to come so close to us. We thank you that you care about every detail of our lives, that you care about things that are hard, that we're carrying that are too heavy, whether that is things with our family or our work, whether that is sickness in our body, or whether that is just things that are weighing on us in our minds, whether it's anxiety or just struggles within our minds or addiction, God, anything that we are struggling with, I thank you that you are not afraid of those things and you don't push away from those things, but you draw us close in those things, and you ask us to come to you, to receive help from you, and thank you for a new way to walk through this life, not in a fairy tale way that says that burdens will never come or that we'll always be happy and we'll always have everything we want exactly when we want it, but you offer us relationship with you. You offer us healing through connection with you. We thank you for this truth about your character. Help us, not just today and not just this week, but help us every day to come to you, to lay down the things that are not ours to carry, to take up this yoke with you, and help us to be willing to learn these new rhythms and these new steps that we can take with us every single day of our lives. We love you so much, Jesus, and we thank you for your word and for the truth in it. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen.